Court is ready to hear oral argument from Petitioner and Syntax versus Hall.
May it please the Court, Mr. Stephen Reiner will present an argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 10 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the Court, my name is Steve Reiner. This matter is before the Court on the question of to whom do excess proceeds from tax resales belong to. The Court of Appeals held that they belong to the taxing unit. Syntax takes the position that they belong to the taxpayer. It's well established that excess proceeds from a tax sale belong to the taxpayer. I'm talking about tax sale, and that's section 34.02C of the property tax code. The taxpayer relies on section 34.06 to base his claim to the excess proceeds from the tax resale. And basically, section 34.06 provides in paragraph A, paragraph A is a direction to the officer who held the resale, telling him to deliver the proceeds to the taxing unit. Then paragraph B goes on, has a provision concerning payment of costs, and then directs the taxing unit to distribute the proceeds as provided for in section 34.02 concerning distribution of proceeds after payment of costs. When you get back over to section 34.02, you'll find in the first sentence of paragraph A, again contains a provision for payment of costs, but from then on, the second sentence of subparagraph A and paragraphs B, C, and D provide for the distribution of proceeds after the payment of costs. Our construction, the construction we would submit to the Court as the proper construction, is that section 34.06 adopts the distribution scheme set out in section 34.02.
Mr. Reiner, are you the property owner from whom the property was taken by the taxing authority?
Syntax has an assignment of cause of action from the taxpayer.
Under your interpretation, could not Syntax go out and look for property that was foreclosed on, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that was still held by a taxing unit who had been unable to sell the property? Go to those people who had originally owned the property, don't own it now, and ask them for an assignment of whatever claim they may have, and then wait for whatever period of time until the taxing authority finally feels the appreciation of the property has reached a level where it can now sell it and get its taxes, and then jump in and say, we want the difference. Why should Syntax get the benefit of appreciation in property that did not exist at the time of the foreclosure, as opposed to the taxing authority that had to hold the property for a number of years and take that appreciation from them? What is the compelling interest that says a property owner who failed to pay their taxes and lost their property is entitled to appreciation in the property over time?
Well, that is our, that under our construction of the statute is, yes, as drafted, that's what the statute provides. But I believe what the statute is encouraging is for the tax units to get the property back on the tax rolls. They're encouraging them to do that.
But isn't the property owner protected in that they are given a 2-year period after the property is deeded to someone else to pay for that plus a 25% penalty to recover the property if the taxpayer who originally owned the property feels that the property is now worth that much money? They've got an opportunity to get it back within 2 years of that sale. Why should, what policy is there to say that this should be read that ad infinitum into the future, the property owner retains some sort of right to excess proceeds whenever it ultimately gets resold?
Well, the taxpayer, addressing your first question, the taxpayer couldn't raise the money to pay the taxes in the first place. So raising the money to pay the redemption penalty may also be a problem. A lot of these taxpayers just don't have the money.
Or taxpayers decide that the value of the property is not worth the tax they're paying on it, and they just let it go for tax.
That's true. It could be, but take the, in this case, the assessed value was $250,500. Unimproved land. The taxpayer, the property went for $43,000 in tax. So here you have the difference, over $200,000 in equity, which the taxpayer has lost. So I don't, you're right. I mean, under our reading of the statute, there is no limit placed on it in the statute, but we didn't write the statute. The legislature drafted it that way.
Would you think this applied if a third party buys in as it sales?
If a third party buys at the tax sale, then there is not going to be a resale because there's no, it's only the resale.
Well, there's still the period of redemption, correct?
Right. The taxpayer can still redeem, but the resale provisions only apply where the property was struck off to the taxing unit. If there is no bid at the tax sale, the constable is required to start the property at the taxing unit for the amount due.
Mm-hmm.
So,
once a third party buys in, there is no right of the original owner for excess proceeds on a resale.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because the code does not govern what a third party does on a resale.
We're just talking about as between the taxing authority and the homeowner.
Right. Well, yeah, take for example this case. Tax sale in February of '88. They struck it off at $43,000. Resale in May of '91, sold for $85,000. $42,000 in excess proceeds there on a property worth $250,000. So, but unless it struck off to the unit at the tax sale, it's not going to be a resale.
Is there any return to the taxing authority under your view for the cost holding the property over a period of time?
Well, the statute doesn't address that. The statute says the tax unit may resell at any time.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3405. And it's very specific. It talks about difference between resale. Well, actually, it gives what's called the purchasing taxing unit a certain period of time in which to resell on its own. And if one of the other taxing units for whose benefit the purchasing taxing unit is holding title, once it resells, after the statute recognizes that after the redemption period expires, the other taxing units can cause a resale to take place. 3405 clearly contemplates that the resale provisions of the statute apply inside the redemption period or outside the redemption period. Now, if 3405, though, does not tell the taxing unit what to do with the proceeds. You go to 3406. And if the legislature had intended to make a distinction here between proceeds that arose from resale inside the redemption period as opposed to outside the redemption period, that would have been the place to do it. And the legislature simply did not do that. I would point out that, and I've submitted a sample in the exhibits, that Harris County agrees with this interpretation, except that Harris County creates an exception as to post-redemption resales.
Do you know whether this has happened much?
I know that there are numerous deposits of excess proceeds from tax resales all across the state. I know that.
Has Syntax done this much? Is this a fluke or is it a business?
Syntax they've noticed that this is what Klein ISD was doing with their property. Syntax checked other properties, and this is why they've checked. And they found that other units, other taxing units were making deposits, and it wouldn't support a business. Because basically across the state, it's pretty much understood as to what you do with proceeds from tax refunds. And I've got, in the sample I've submitted, we have a motion to deposit by Kalam Linebarger, one of the largest tax collection law firms in the state, and they agreed that they should be deposited.
Any other questions? How much time do you say?
The petitioner's first 3 minutes is now expired. He has 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, Ms. Barbara Baruch and Mr. F. James Wunderlich present argument for the respondents, and Ms. Baruch will begin with the first 15 minutes.
Your Honor, I'm Barbara Baruch. I'm a senior assistant county attorney from Harris County, Texas. I think I represent Harris County in this lawsuit. I think that Justice Enoch hit the nail on the head with his first question to Syntax. And I think that they weren't appropriately answered by Mr. Reiner. A taxpayer who cannot afford to pay their taxes can sell the property and pay the taxes and make whatever profit that taxpayer could have made on her $200,000 piece of land. Syntax does and did exactly what Justice Enoch suggested. And under Syntax law, this is going to be a very profitable business. If this court looks at Section 34.01 of the tax code, what the taxing authorities got when the property was struck off at the sale pursuant to the foreclosure of the tax lien was title, which included every interest owned by Verna Neal, subject only to her right of redemption.
Do you agree that most taxing authorities are over the state depositing excess proceeds?
I disagree entirely, and I don't think that the two sets of documents included in Syntax's appendix illustrate that. I believe in one case, the property was not in the period of redemption, and after that period had expired. And I will say that's my position, that the law will apply in the period of redemption or outside of the period of redemption. But
wait, I don't understand. You're saying you're challenging that it applies when?
Okay. In this particular case, the resale was after the period of redemption, and I think that that's all that I'm required to establish before this court, that we proceeded properly after the period of redemption expired. But
if it had been before the two-year period, you would have deposited the excess?
My opinion is, even within the two-year period of redemption,
you're not required.
Proceeds belong to the title owner, subject only to the right of redemption.
Would that be true upon the foreclosure of any lien holder, that they'd be entitled to the excess proceeds over and above the lien, attorney's fees, interest, that sort of thing? They'd be entitled to, in essence, a windfall?
Oh, you mean, for example, if your mortgage company comes in and says you're not paying your mortgage, we're going to sell your property.
I don't make my mortgage payment, and I have a $100,000 equity in the property, but and they foreclose on the property. Do they get to keep the $100,000 equity or the equity?
No, Your Honor, that's not our position. At the first sale, what we are entitled to is what the law gives us, the taxes, the costs of the tax foreclosure suit, and the costs of that sale. Because up to that point, we're not the title owner. The title owner, Verna Neal, would be entitled to the excess at that sale pursuant to the foreclosure of the tax lien. But after that point, when the property was struck off to Klein and to Harris County, we are the title owner of that property. And if we sell it, just like if you sell your property, if you own it or outright, we are entitled to the profits, the excess, over the original tax judgment.
But in my hypothetical about my house mortgage, the mortgage company has to pay me the excess proceeds, don't they?
That's correct. And
when it's sold in a foreclosure sale, why doesn't the taxing entity have the same obligation to turn over the excess proceeds to the taxpayer?
Okay, this is not a situation where a large government is coming down on a poor taxpayer.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just asking why doesn't the same principle apply?
Because at that foreclosure sale, the taxpayer does get the excess proceeds. At that first sale, foreclosing the tax lien, she is the title owner. She is entitled to the excess proceeds. But
you didn't sell it here, right?
We did the equivalent. It was struck off to us.
You bought it.
It was struck off to us.
Is that different?
We don't exchange money because nobody came in there with money, but she'll get the credit for the taxes and the cost of the tax judgment and everything like that.
And you, the taxpaying entity, got the excess equity?
No. At that point, the excess does go to the registry of the court that entered the tax judgment.
But
that
your point
excess.
Is that there was no excess.
Excuse me?
Your point is that there was no there excess.
There was no excess. We hold the land beyond the period of redemption, and now we're just like every other title owner. We have absolute title, and we get any excess or profits at the resale. And that's what every court that has interpreted Texas tax code and every attorney general opinion on this issue has held. And that's what every statute since at least the 1925 revised civil statutes were enacted has provided.
Where there is a relatively small tax bill or lien relative to the total value of the property, why wouldn't it be in the interest, of, under your theory, for the taxing authority to always hold on to the property, pass the period of redemption, then sell it, and then recoup proceeds far in excess of the tax bill?
Well,
wouldn't there always be a financial incentive to do that?
Yes, Your Honor, and in our system of government and economics, capitalism in this country, there would have been the same incentive for the taxpayer to sell her property, reap her profits before the taxing entities come in and take the property, and pay off her taxes, or go to a bank and say, I have the right of redemption for this very small tax bill. Lend me some money so I can pay that very small tax bill in the first or even the second year that she had to redeem the property, and I'll come back to your bank and pay you all the money you let, repay you the money you lent me, I'll pay you the interest that you charge me as a bank, and I make the profits, or the taxpayer makes the profits. We have financial incentives on both ends, Your Honor. Petitioner is asking this court to write new law. This law that Syntax wants is different from any we have ever seen in the state of Texas. Texas has always been very, very protective of of property rights. When a taxpayer wouldn't or couldn't pay taxes on their real estate, Texas said, well, the taxing authority, the government, can come in and take your property after it files a lawsuit. It has to get a judgment, and then it has to get a writ of execution, and then there has to be a tax foreclosure sale, and then they have to record the deed, and from that point on, you still have 2 years to redeem your property. I'm going to hand it to the court two exhibits. Exhibit A is just a short synopsis of the timeline in this case. So the court section C, when the right of redemption expires, October 20th of 1990, and the fact that the resale occurred after that right of redemption expired. And then Klein deeded his property to Hawley Kasperzak, and after that, Vernon yielded anything that she did with what the trial court held as a matter of law was a right to nothing. At that point, the trial court determined that Vernon Neal had no interest in the property. And if she had had an interest in profit at the first sale, the sale pursuant to the tax lien, well, then she could have given away a chosen action. But there were no excess profits at that point. So Syntax got nothing from Vernon Neal. What Syntax wants this court to decide results in an absurd conclusion. If Vernon Neal had redeemed her property the first year after the tax foreclosure sale and then sold it herself to reap the profits that we got 3 years later, she would have had to pay off the tax judgment, and by the way, I've rounded off the figures. She would have had to pay a 25% penalty, and then if she sold it for the same amount we did later, she would have had excess profits of $30,000. If Vernon Neal had redeemed the property the second year, she would have had to pay off the tax judgment, pay a penalty, a redemption penalty of 25%. And then if she sold it the same way we did, she would have had excess money or a profit of $20,000. What Syntax law would do, which is not and has never been the law in the state of Texas, is that the recalcitrant and delinquent taxpayer never redeems her property, never pays off the judgment, doesn't pay a penalty. The property has been off the tax rolls, and they come to you this time 1 year after the period of redemption, maybe next time 50 years after the period of redemption expires, and they want everything. They want $40,000. That just doesn't make sense, and I think the only reason it didn't sound completely ludicrous originally when Syntax made that argument was because the periods of time were so close. But as Justice Enos pointed out, it could likely occur 50 years later.
Well, that would be the taxpaying authority's choice, would it not?
That's correct. We could have
kept... Because they would not have made the sale that you say that Syntax or Vernon Neal could have made.
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at the law that Syntax wants you to create, it ignores the historical progression of our statutes, which were enacted in 1925 and amended four times thereafter, and every single statute has been interpreted or states specifically that at the resale, the taxing authorities are entitled to the profit.
Well, Ms. Brooke, I mean, you say that, but part of the difficulty is that Section 3406 property tax code, talking about distribution proceeds of resale, doesn't really say that the proceeds belong to the taxing unit that took the property at the foreclosure. What it says is that's where the proceeds go, but then the taxing unit is supposed to distribute them according to, and then it refers back to 3402, and at best, 3402 is kind of ambiguous about, since 3402 talks in terms of not sufficient proceeds, and also sufficient proceeds and how it goes, and you say set up the clerk's office, and that's where the excess goes from the foreclosure. It sort of interwines this notion of, well, that's when you got a foreclosure. But then you go to 3406, now you've got a resale of the property, and here come the proceeds. But then you look for distribution under 3402, which keeps referring to foreclosure. I mean, what authority do you have other than the CA's opinion that has addressed directly what's the significance of 3406 referring back to 3402, and within the body of 3402 it presents this question of holding the excess proceeds?
I think that's exactly what the Austin Court of Appeals dealt with in 1941 in the Booty case under one of the predecessor statutes, Your Honor. It seemed at that time that that statute was ambiguous and didn't clearly say what the taxing authority should do. And what the court held in Booty is there were no private bidders at the first sale, and the property was bought in for the state of Texas. It was not redeemed within the 2 years provided by law, and the title of the state to the property became absolute. The property was then sold by the sheriff for the state, and after paying the amount of taxes due the local taxing unit, the balance was sent to the state treasurer, which sum belonged to the state. And no provision is made for any further claims to be filed with regard to any excess over the taxes. The court said no such provision is necessary because the state simply sold its own land and was entitled to the entire proceeds of the sale. So I think Booty and Herbert versus Smith are very instructive in that regard. We have split our time, and Mr. Wunderlich will continue.
Any further questions on this floor? Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, I'm James Wunderlich, and I'm here on behalf of Klein Independent School District. I agree wholeheartedly that what the petitioner is asking is a deviation from the law and is not asking this court to interpret existing law. The tax laws have been on our statutes for well over a century, even before the 1925 revision. While it's true that they have revised it from time to time, arguing about which section took care of what is just about like arguing which translation or version of the Bible is the most genuine. The core message in all is the same. I'd like to address several questions that were raised earlier by the court and by Mr. Reiner. Syntax, to my knowledge, this is the only lawsuit that Syntax, Inc. is involved against Klein. But that's a corporation owned by Mr. Reiner's brother. There are numerous other claims against Klein School District by Mr. Reiner's brother. So when I say, and I stated this in the brief, I believe that this is only one of many decisions that would be affected. They're all part of the same family.
Mr. Wunderlich, what I'm trying to understand is Is Klein Independent School District out a penny in terms of its tax lien?
Yes, sir.
The penalty,
yes, sir.
The interest, the
yes, Your Honor. Fees,
and please explain to me what that is.
When the constable conducts his first sale, title passes, and there are no bidders, title passes to the taxing entity, it immediately goes off of the tax roll and ceases to produce revenue and stays there until the taxing entity sells the property. And all of this time, there is no revenue coming to any of the taxing entities involved.
And why couldn't the taxing entity, if this was such a great property relative to its value as compared to what you had into it, why couldn't the taxing authority sell it at virtually any time as your co-counsel argued?
Two answers to that, Your Honor. You're aware that about 10 years ago, the legislature created the county appraisal districts. It is common knowledge all over that there were gross inaccuracies in the valuation of property. this property, one of the reasons Mrs. Neal got in financial problems in the first place was the property was totally overvalued. It's in the floodplain. She could, but she did not avail herself of the remedy to get the tax valuation lowered. And so there was no way that she could, that this property could be sold to anyone during the two-year period of limitation for the $200,000+. It could have been sold for what it sold for 3 years later, but it wasn't. Now, the reason, there's a practical reason why that doesn't happen. Nobody buys property, Your Honor, when they don't have clear title. They're not going to buy a piece of property when there is still a period of time, 1 year or maybe up to close to 2 years, when the former owner can say, here's the, I want to redeem. And then they lose any improvements that they might have put on that property. It's, as a practical matter, it just doesn't happen. I see my red light has expired. I just want to thank you all. This argument is not only for Klein, it is for 1,250 other school districts and 254 counties and perhaps 1,000 citizen towns who also get their revenue from property taxes.
Well, 1,254 school districts?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. I thought we just recently had a case, you may be familiar with the school finance case, which I thought we had more on the order of 42 school districts. Are there more than that?
The last count, which was that I made, Your Honor, on some reports from the tax entities were 1,250 to 1,254.
Maybe,
but it's over 1,000. Well over 1,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to address the first the question of whether or not the law under this statute is the same as the law under the old article 7435B. I have, in the exhibits that I've attached, that I've submitted to the each justice, exhibit number 11, on page 1062, I've underlined the relevant language in the old statute. And what it said was, in talking about the proceeds, it said you shall distribute the remainder pro rata among the taxing units. And it stopped right there. And that's been the same language from 1937 up until the tax code. That was the identical language that remained in the statute, although the statute was modified every now and then. But that language has disappeared from the statute now. It's no longer there. It doesn't. You now have this new language, 3406, that says you go back to 3402 and follow that scheme. We submit to the court. This and now the argument made concerning this language in 3401 about the tax unit taking title, a subject only to the right of redemption. First off, I didn't notice this until last night. That language was not even in the statute at the time of the tax sale. The sale was in 88. That language is added in 1989, effective June 15 of 89. But in spite of that language, claim to an excess proceeds is a chosen action. It's a cause of action, a claim on a fund. It's not an interest in real estate. That language in 3401 is addressing title matters. I think he's trying to make it clear that when the property, where title to the property is during this process of tax collection. As far as that question about whether Klein IC and Harris County are out anything, they fully collected on the resale. They collected everything they were entitled to, and including they recovered post-judgment interest, which when we get back to the trial court, I guess we'll have to address those questions as to exactly what the excess proceeds consist of. But they've been fully paid, including for taxes that accrued during the time that the property was supposedly off the tax rolls.
Let me ask you, are you saying
whether they were fully paid or not, are you saying that under your interpretation of the statute, where there's this right to excess proceeds from a subsequent sale, that a taxing authority could charge against the claim for excess proceeds from the sale taxes that were due on the property and not paid?
The taxing authority cannot collect for taxes that would have accrued while the property should have been off the tax roll.
Are you saying that after the foreclosure of the property and the taxing authority takes the property in lieu of taxes, that there's some sort of interest that runs against these taxes that were not paid, that would somehow be subtracted from the excess proceeds before being paid the tax?
I understand you. No. When the property is struck off at the tax sale, that the constable bids the amount of the judgment in order to purchase the property. So at the tax sale, the judgment is satisfied.
I thought I just heard you say in response to her comment about 25%, 50% penalties on redemption that would no longer be due, I understood you to say that that's not right, that Klein, when the excess proceeds come in, gets paid for all of this out of the excess proceeds, and I was trying to figure out how that occurred.
I think you misunderstood me, Your Honor, and maybe I just didn't state it very well. My point was that they were not out any money. I mean, whenever the resale takes place, they take those proceeds and they pay themselves what they're owed.
But
in this case,
they don't pay themselves for the 2 years.
They shouldn't.
Well, I understand that you're saying they pay what they owe, but they're not owed the 2 years from the date of the sale. That period of redemption.
All I'm saying is if the property is off the tax roll immediately after the tax sale, it's not accruing taxes. So to collect for taxes when they're not accruing, I think there are cases that's pretty clear. I mean, this has been litigated in Harris County. There, you can't assess taxes on property after it's off the roll.
All right, if they hold it though for 2 years and sell it, then the result is that they've lost what would have been payment for taxes for a 2 year period.
That's correct, sir. Yeah. That's correct.
And
a lot of taxing units do not, they're hesitant about letting the bidding start. If they don't feel they've got enough bidding there, you see, they don't want, because the statute says it shall be struck off to the taxing unit. It's generally agreed, I believe, that once that constable starts that bidding, he's going to strike it off to the taxing unit. They can't stop him. So a lot of taxing units are hesitant to let the bidding start. They are encouraged under this statute to bring sufficient bids.
If the taxpayer exercises a right of redemption within a 2 year period, do they then, in addition to paying the outstanding balance at the time of the foreclosure and tax sale, do they pay in addition to that taxes that would have been due? Did they retain title of the property before they redeem it after the tax sale? And do they pay penalties on the amounts due if they exercise their right of redemption?
No, Your Honor, if I understand your question,
what I'm trying to get at is if they wait until just before the end of the 2 year period, just before the expiration of the right of redemption, and then they redeem it, do they, in addition to the delinquent taxes, the amount that was struck off at the tax sale, do they pay taxes that would have been due had they retained title to the property before the tax sale, had they retained title to the property all the way through? Do they pay taxes for that 2 year period? Do they pay penalties for that 2 year period when they exercise their right of redemption?
It's my understanding that they do not. And in fact, there was
In other words,
County.
In other words, the taxing authority is no better or worse off under your scheme than they would be if that person exercised their right of redemption.
Well, if they exercise the right of redemption, the taxing unit's going to get, in the second year, the taxing unit's going to get 150% of what it was struck off for, which was the bid.
So you pay extra.
Yeah, the redemption is 150% penalty.
So to follow up on Judge Gammage's question, you're better off having bought the property after the redemption period expired than the taxpayer would have been if he bought the property if he'd redeemed the property.
You're better off. You're better off.
And the school district or any taxing authority gets a little burned, right?
Well, maybe so. But as it's working today, taxing units are reselling as quickly as they can for what they've got in it. And people do come redeem.
Which includes the 50% penalty.
No, it doesn't. I mean, in actual practice today, as from what I've seen,
they're reselling what it was struck off for.
Plus, they're reselling it. In actual practice, what they're doing is after the tax sale, if it's struck off to them, they attempt to resell it for what they've got in it. Plus, they add interest to it, and they add their taxes that would have accrued had it been on the roll. They add that. That's their decision of what they sell it for. But that's what they're doing.
And whoever takes title takes it subject to the right of redemption.
Whoever buys it takes subject to the right of redemption.
That's kind of a scary proposition. Take title subject to somebody else's redemptive right.
Sure. But what they're doing is...
It looks like it would be hard to find a buyer.
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Looks like it would be hard to find a buyer.
What the buyers are doing is they're going and they're getting a release of the right of redemption. They're buying... If the property is worth the purchase price, then they go to they acquire whoever has rights. They acquire them from them. They'll buy the rights of the taxing unit. They might, if they need to do something to the property, they'll go buy it, whatever rights the taxpayer has.
And that's what we've done in this case.
In this case, the right of redemption expired, and. The taxpayer, all she had was the rights of the excess proceeds.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. That concludes the argument and the third call. The court will take another brief recess.
The audience, please rise.